chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 5. One verse of Scripture. We're going to try our best to continue our study on the need for the Holy Ghost. And I've just been bringing a series of different messages on Sunday nights to the church. And last week I took a break from it and preached on intercessory prayer. Amen. And I trust this week the Lord's challenged my heart. I got down to pray sometime this week and I thought about it and I hadn't called out my loved ones a whole day. And I got on my knee. I said, "Lord, forgive me. I want to be faithful to call the names out of my lost loved ones." Amen. I love to see them saved. I want to see them come into the kingdom of God. But we've been doing a study on the Holy Ghost. And when I say a study, it's not really in detail, but just a series of messages. And if you remember, the first night I preached on the fullness of the Spirit and how important it is to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We dealt with that and how what we believe about that baptism in the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in other tongues. And then I preached the second message on the triumph of the Holy Ghost in your life. How the Holy Ghost desires everybody in this room. The Holy Ghost desires to fill you with the hope of Jesus Christ. Amen? He wants to fill you with that hope. And I gave a comparison. The Bible talks about that the Lord would love for you to abound with hope. How that word abound there means to be like a cluster full of grapes about to burst forth. Amen? And I said, you got some Christians that look like grapes and some Christians that look like raisins. Amen. You got some that seem like it's always coming out at the seams. And you got some, they ain't nothing in the seams, if you know what I mean. Amen. But I'm glad to know tonight for that glorious and blessed hope. Amen. I trust you received something from them few messages. But tonight we're going to go a different way and just trust God to help us here. Something He's put in my heart this week. And then this morning when Brother Davis was preaching underneath the anointing as he was, and we hadn't even had really a chance to talk much about anything, but it just kind of confirmed in my heart the direction to go tonight. 2 Timothy 3 and 5. And when you're there, give me a good amen. It says this, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. For such turn away. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And I want to preach to you tonight on denying dunamis. Anybody ever heard of the word dunamis? Anybody? All right, I'm making sure I wasn't the only one. I know that don't mean something to some, but that word power in that text there, when you look it up in the Greek, it is the word we get dunamis. It means you'll find it used all throughout the New Testament for the power of God. That word translated into its original language is dunamis, and people have a different pronunciation for it. You know I do. So anyhow, dunamis is what we're going to preach on, denying dunamis. Now, looking at this today, we must understand, just moving into this message, what the church needs more than anything is to witness the divine, undeniable power of God. I thought this morning when Brother Davis was preaching so wonderfully, and the Lord was using him, and he was talking about the miracles and the different things that, you know, things that we should desire to see. And all of us, the things that we should be trusting God for, believing, not waiting to see them, but coming into a service or moving in a situation in life, already trusting the Lord to see them things. And I thought to myself, even before he preached that this morning, dealing with this message, the need for a witness of God's divine, undeniable power that we can look and say, look, only God can do that. We need that in our lives, church. I want you to understand, when things are very predictable, when the things are just to where we can always understand them, I love when the Holy Ghost breaks past the natural realm, moves into the supernatural, defies all laws and scientific physics, all those things. He doesn't have to ask a human being nothing, but when God does something that's so unique and so phenomenal that we can step back and say, only God could do that. You know, tonight, some of you in this building here, you know what you were before you got saved, amen? My word, when I got saved, I would go around and see friends I used to run around with, and I had a few of them say this, only God could do that. Only God could convince Derek Jones to be the way he is now, because I was a sinner, I was wretched, I was rebellious, but the transformation that took place through my life was real. But hear me today, friend, our need for the sublime and for the supernatural in our churches is something that's so unprecedented that we need to once again begin to ask God for these things. And I'm going to move into my message, but just simply asking the Lord. It's so important to have that childlike faith when we go to the Lord and we ask Him for a moving of His Spirit. And you've got to be honest with yourself. I hope you ask Him every day, but sometimes we'll go a few days and we'll never ask the Lord to do something. And I'm not talking about do something for us, but do something supernatural, something that's just completely, something that just completely would blow our minds. Because we would understand today, and I read a quote one time and thought it was very interesting, and the quote said this, 90% of what the modern church world does could be done if the Holy Ghost never came. I'm going to let you think about that. 90% of what the church world does, he's talking about as a whole, I know there's remnants of different things, but 90% of what the church world does, that could still do that if the Holy Ghost never came. What they're saying is this, is that the Holy Ghost came for a purpose. The Holy Ghost came today. It came in the book of Acts that we're going to study about some more in the future. He came for a reason. That was for Him to be the testimony of Jesus Christ. But nowadays, churches could probably do 90% of what they do every Sunday. If the Holy Ghost left, they would never even know it. Oh my, think about that. Now moving into this today, I want you to understand of the power of God in Scripture. This tonight, the subject that I'm preaching to you about power, about dunamis, that word in the Bible, for which we get words derived, words like dynamite and dynamo and dynamic, words like that come from that word in the Greek, dunamis there. Really what that word means to us, that word power in the New Testament, it means force, it means miraculous power, it means implication. A miracle itself, ability, abundance, meaning, might, miracles, power, strength, violence, mighty, wonderful works. That's what that word means in the Bible. It is something that is on the miracle. It's something that is powerful. And it is something that is miraculous. But we look at this text here today, and we understand Christians who are filled with the Holy Ghost are supposed to be those churches and Christians that are filled with the Holy Ghost. If the Holy Ghost really is the power of God, which it is, Christians that are filled with the Spirit should be explosive. They ought to be contagious, and they ought to live up to the presence of God that is in their life. But we come here today looking at this without the power of God in our churches. Just a few ideas that came to mind last night when I was studying some of this. Some of the things that come to mind. Could you imagine if the Holy Ghost was not here? Now, this has got to be a reality to you, because at times we go about our days and the Holy Ghost really wants to do a lot more for us. He wants to do a lot more things. Even like this morning, it was phenomenal. You could feel the presence of God here, and you know He was desiring to help us and to encourage us. But without the Holy Ghost, we become philosophers. We become historians. Churches become dead. Believers grow lukewarm. Ministry becomes exhausting. And I say amen to that. Amen. You do ministry without the Holy Ghost. It's an aggravating thing. It is something that it just exhausts you when you try to do things in your own strength, in your own flesh. Even my friend, even in your prayer life, I've heard people say before, they say, my, praying is just boring to me. And I think to myself, yes, if you're praying in the flesh, but when you're praying in the Spirit, there's something that's different. You ever got down to pray before and you started off and maybe it's just me. You ever fell asleep on your knees? Now, you can be honest. We're not going to throw a rock at you here. I promise you. I remember, especially when I worked a full-time job. You know, I'd come on in and I'd get on my knees trying to pray a little bit. And I'd wake up about 45 minutes later, cramps in my arms, cramps in my legs. And I had to repent and ask the Lord to forgive me, because I knew I didn't get nothing out of that few minutes of prayer, man. Got some good sleep out of it, but it didn't feed my spirit too much. You know what I'm saying? So hear me today, friend. Even praying in the Spirit is important. When you get down to pray, ask the Holy Ghost to help you pray. Oh my, you'd be surprised. My wife sings a song that says, pray through me, Holy Spirit. Pray through me when I'm weak. It's talking about those times that you don't even know what to ask for, but the Holy Ghost comes by. He touches you. He motivates you. He touches that spirit. He begins to pray through you. And all of a sudden, sometimes you may not even understand all that's going on, but you feel the peace and the joy of the Holy Ghost because He's helping you pray. Amen. We need the Holy Ghost to help us pray. We're pretty sorry creatures, ain't we? I'm just talking about me. I need the Holy Ghost to help me pray. I need the Holy Ghost to help me preach. I need the Holy Ghost to help me sing. I need the Holy Ghost to deal with my heart every day, because if He does not deal with me, I'm not strong enough in my flesh to do anything for myself. I get exhausted when I try to maintain my salvation. Amen. I'm trying to save my own self. I get exhausted when I try to be righteous. But my, when the Holy Ghost reminds me of what our position is in Jesus, I feel the unction and the touch of God. Hear me today, friend. If we're not careful without the Holy Ghost, we will turn to methods of men seeking the favor of men without the Holy Ghost. Hear me today. Not only that, but souls will perish and go to everlasting torment. We will not see fruit. We will not see growth if the Spirit of God is not in our midst. Now looking at our text today, it says this. It says that they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And let me touch on this right quick because it's something we need to understand. The devil does not care if you have a form of religion. The devil does not care if you come to church, so to speak. I know he doesn't want you here, but if you could come to church, God, the devil does not care if you just sing a song or two. The devil does not care. Look, I know he don't want you to carry a Bible, but there's people that go to hell carrying a Bible. The devil doesn't mind form. The devil doesn't mind structure. You, like I've said 50 times, you run up and down Big Bethel Road, you'll see buildings and churches everywhere that I have Bibles and I'll sing songs, but some of them are just form and some of them are just structures. They're here, but it says they have a form of godliness. That word form there means formation, appearance, a resemblance. It's a formula, it is a form, it is something that it just goes through the motions. There's just a structure of religion there, but there is no real power. Oh my. Hear me today, friend. It says they have a form of what? Of godliness. That means godliness. They have an outward appearance of religion. They have an outward appearance of godliness. You go to them, and my friend, you can hop on some people's Facebooks at times. They'll put a Bible verse one time, and then they'll put something with cussing the next time. You know what that is? That's a form of God. I know I get looked. I'm not making this stuff up. People do it. And you know what you need to do? Unfollow them. Amen. And I don't know how to unfollow somebody. I don't know much about it. Amen. But I do know this. You have control of things. And we must understand this today. You've got to do more than just park in a church door. You've got to do more than just sit on a pew. You've got to do more than just sing a few songs. You've got to do more than just pay your tithes. We've got to make sure that we are not denying dunamis. We are not denying the almighty miraculous power of God. We've got to make sure we are facilitating a move of God. And we've got to make sure today, friend, that we don't just have a form individually, but you've got to make sure that you have a Spirit moving in your life that's moving you to holiness, that's moving you closer to Jesus, and that Spirit's name is the Holy Ghost. Amen. You say, why do you call Him Holy Ghost? Well, the Bible says it 90-something times. Hey, man, you can call Him Holy Spirit if you want. Don't bother me. Amen. I had somebody ask me one time, why do you say Holy Ghost? I say, why do you say Holy Spirit? I like both of them, amen. But in the King James Version Bible, Holy Ghost 96 times and Holy Spirit 6. I mean, it's up to you what you want to call them. But spirits, I don't know, sometimes there's a lot of spirits in this world. Amen. And I don't know if you believe in ghosts or not, but ghosts always, when we say there's a ghost out there, we're saying there's a body somewhere and that body is the body of Christ. Amen. We were just saying that, I don't care what you call it. I'll move along with that. I don't want to confuse you. But understand this, a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Hear me today, this is important here. And that word deny there means to contradict, it means to reject, it means to deny, and it means to refuse. So it's saying they have a framework, they have a structure, they have religion, but they completely contradict, reject, and deny, and refuse the power of Jesus Christ. Even contradicting is bad. You ever seen somebody that's living a life of contradiction? Where they say one thing, but they live another. So even you say, you don't have to verbally always deny the gospel. Sometimes your life can deny the gospel. Somebody say amen. Sometimes the way you talk contradicts what you're saying about what you believe. Sometimes the way you live or the way the places you go. That's why we believe in a holiness church. We got to be careful what we wear, the places we go, the way we talk. Because I don't want somebody looking at Derek Jones and he's saying, they'll look at me and say, well, Derek Jones says he's an overcomer. Derek Jones says he believes in holiness. Derek Jones says he believes in Jesus Christ and the fullness thereof. But everything he says and does and every place he goes contradicts what he says. You can deny the power just by things you do. My Lord of heaven. We've got to make sure, friends, that we are not denying this. Now, I want you to have your attention right here, because I was studying and came across this, and I really get excited about things sometimes. It's like finding something at the bottom of a cereal box, you know, on a much bigger level. I ain't bringing it down that low. But you know, I'm reading the Bible here, and I begin to look up this word deny. When it says denying the power thereof, and I begin to chain reference that word, and it brought me immediately to Matthew 10:33 that says this, "But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." So it's saying here, they have a form of godliness, they have a framework, they have religion, but they are denying the power thereof. We must understand once again how dangerous it is when we live a life of contradiction or live a life that denies the power thereof. It's got to be more than religion, but hear me today, because if you deny the power of God, if you deny the power and the regenerating power of the Lord and the dealings of the Holy Ghost, Jesus tells us this, "Him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." I would be careful coming to church and always rejecting the moving of the Spirit. Amen. And I say this very respectfully, but I've even told my family this. If you're going to come to church and play games, don't come to church. Come on now. I've told my brother, we've told him in a conversation. If you're going to come to church and sit there, and every time the Lord deals, you never move an inch, you're better off sitting outside somewhere, because you're becoming more accountable. God's dealt with you another time. Get in church and mean business is what I was really saying. Hear me today. That word denying the power thereof also chained reference to this little story in the Bible. There was a man by the name of Peter. And when Jesus is arrested, Peter's sitting by a fire one day. And a little damsel comes up to Peter and says, "You're one of the disciples of Jesus Christ." And Peter says, denies and says, "No, I'm not. Silly little girl, you know, leave me alone," pretty much. Somebody else said something to him, and the Bible says three times. The Lord told him he was going to do that, but three times. The Bible says this, "But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest." Here it is. We got Peter in the Bible. He's ashamed of Jesus Christ, but that word denied there ties to the same verse I just read to you a minute ago, denying the power thereof. My Lord, once again, we got a bunch of Peters at times that's sitting by a fire, and they may say this and say that, but here they are, they're denying the power of God. I don't know about you, I don't want to deny the power of God, but I don't care how bad things get, I want to say I'm one of them. I'm a part of that Jesus way. I'm a part of salvation, and I'm still a part of holiness. Now the idea is that they are religious, but deny the supernatural transforming power of God. External religion, but denying the transformation. External religion, but people that deny the transformation. And my God, if we ever need that transforming work in our lives once again, where somebody will come to an altar, somebody will pray through, somebody will come down and pray, get up and say, "I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus," because that transformation is real. I know I've shared my testimony with you a few times. I don't know how in detail I did. I don't know if that's a good idea or not. Amen. But I came in contact with the power of God. I did. I mean, started smoking pot at 12 or 13. I can't remember. Started smoking, snorting coke at 15. Started popping ecstasy at 17. Got in legal trouble, multiple legal battles. Went to court, got put on probation 5 years, and best friend killed a man, and got caught up in that. They thought I knew accessory to the fact. I was looking at possibly 5-10 years in prison. I mean, things just went wrong. And after all that was going on, I had 3 felonies. Here I was, I'm driving without a license, and you'd know I'd get arrested. Cooler beer in the trunk. Didn't care what nobody thought. I'd tell the sheriff, "Be quiet any day." I told him, "Go ahead and lock me up, sheriff. Here it is again." But when I went to a youth meeting, which I'm about to go and revisit the altar where I got saved at, it never happened again. I didn't have to go home and try to do better.
I mean, I did. You know what I'm saying? I had to put forth effort, but I went home. But there was a transformation in my life. I had a conflict. I came into contact with the dunamis of God, with the power of God, and it was enough to loose every chain, drop every addiction, change my mindset, change the way I dress, change the places I go, change all my friends. Everything about me changed. It's called the power of God. Brother Nathan preached a pretty high message to us this morning. If you want challenge to climb a little higher, then you hire the most of us. I felt like climbing when I left there. I said, my God, I got a picture of the power of God again. Hey man, we have people come to the altars. You know, as a pastor and a preacher, Brother Glenn can relate. You're thinking, what do you do now? You know, you try to work with people. You think to yourself, I'm trying to do this. But you know what it is? There's nothing I can do in reality. There's nothing you can do in reality except try to be obedient to the presence of God and let the power of God do the work that it needs to do, produce that in our services, and we would have no trouble seeing revival at all. Oh my. I like what he said this morning. If that man on the front pew of his church stood up and said, I can see, it'd change a lot of things, wouldn't it? You know what? Because somebody would say, the dunamis of God is here. The power of God is there. That's what we need once again, my friend. Let's get into this a little further. The power here, that word dunamis, let's trace this word. I want to do this. I want to trace this word power or dunamis through the life of Jesus. And let's see what's embodied in this word here. We're going to look in the book of Luke here. Let's trace the power of God throughout the book of Luke. Luke 1:35 says this. And this is about Mary there. We know the story. Mary's told that she's going to have a child. And that's going their child's going to be the Son of God. But Mary said something like this. One problem. I never knew a man. She said, I'm a virgin. How can I have a baby? It's impossible. There's no way. It's never been done before. And I'm going to say it's never been done since. Oh, I don't care how much artificial stuff they can do. Hey, man, they've made a new program here recently mocking the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. How did it happen? Was it scientific? Was it something by chance? No. It tells us Luke 1:35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost, notice this, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power, dunamis, of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Mary said, I'm a virgin. I don't know a man. How can this happen? It's easy, the angel says. God's power is going to do it. Man, that's simple. Oh my. You say, well, that's too simple. Well, I love the power of God because it's just He's big enough and we're not. So we look at this. We must understand that the book of Luke and Acts, we know the same author there. They have a lot of similarities. But let's look at Luke 4:14. We know that Jesus was born. We know the story. 30 years old. He goes down to the Jordan River. He gets baptized of John. The heavens open up and says, that's my boy Jesus. That's my son there. An angel descends on him in the form of a dove, which is the Holy Ghost. Then instantly the Bible says the Spirit drives Jesus into the wilderness. And there he is doing it. A 40-day fast. My. I couldn't. I'm just being honest. I haven't done one. And I know some have, and probably. But I want to do one. But Jesus did a 40-day fast, and we're not talking about in AC rooms. We're not talking about with juice. We're not talking about the Daniel fast. I'm talking about a 40-day in a wilderness, dirt on the ground, cold at night, hot during the day, no food, no water. Here Jesus is, 40 days into a fast. The devil shows up. We know he defeats the devil as far as we're recording the word and all of that. But the Bible says this, and Jesus returned in the power of the dunamis of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out fame of him through all the region about. So here it is. Jesus is born because of the power of God. Jesus, the devil lands on him. He's driven into the wilderness by the power of God. And he leaves the wilderness in the power of God. The power of God, dunamis, the power of God is evident in the life of Jesus. Not only that, but we'll find in the same chapter, when it comes to teaching and deliverance, it says this, and they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what word is this? For with authority and with dunamis power, he commanded the unclean spirits, and they come out. Power with God. Now, I want to touch on this for a moment because I've been to a lot of places. I mean, they do a lot of, if you don't mind me using the term, wrestle with demons. What that means, when somebody comes in demon-possessed, I remember I've been to a few meetings before and you see 20 guys over there and one demon-possessed person. And look, that's all right. Bind together. Cast the spirit out. But before I went to Africa, this is a question I had to have answered. Because I don't know about you, going to the foreign field where there, you run into about a demon every service, averagely, at least. You go to service, so there was demons everywhere, people that are demon-possessed everywhere. The part that I went to, not everywhere, I know that. But the part we went to out in the Rift Valley, different places, I had to know, was the power of God strong enough to deal with demons? Amen. I don't know if you believe in that, so it happens. If you don't happen, I'd love to take you a few places. And if you got the money, I don't, but we'll work something out. But I went there, so what I did, and I recommend you do it, it'll encourage your faith. You go in this Bible, you read through the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you even come to the book of Acts, and you start looking every time Jesus dealt with a demon. He didn't have to arm wrestle. He didn't have to scuff on the ground. All he simply did at times, I like when one point he's dealing with Legion, and it's a bunch of black writing, and right in the middle of that verse is one red word, and it says, G-O. Go. Amen. And the demons left. And I seen that when I went over there, nothing to do with me, but I witnessed the power of God deal with demons on that magnitude. Because hear me today, friend, there's not a demon, there's not an imp, there's not a devil when it comes to the power of God. I know there's a power of the enemy. I know there's a persuasion and a deception of the enemy. But my Lord, when you set it beside the power of God, it looks like the smallest little speck. It looks like the smallest little decimal sitting beside Mount Everest. Because God's power is that much greater. Amen. The devil don't want you to know that. He wants you to think he's just as big as the Lord. He's not. We look at this. We trace this word. It's tied to divine healing. It says in Luke 5:17, it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, and they were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power dunamis of the Lord was present to heal them. And then we also know this word in the Bible. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue, that word translates to dunamis, out of him and healed them all. The virtue, the power, the handle demons, all these things, the deliverance of the Lord is all in the dunamis and in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you must understand that. Now, this is where it gets pretty interesting. Now, we're talking about Pentecost. Now, I've had people say, well, that's not true, Brother Derek. You know, there's no way we should be able to see. Yes, we can. And I'm going to just show you in the Bible. You know, sometimes you're going to get deeper than English. And we got to look at this. I read to you up to Luke 6:19 there. And then you find the issue with the one with the issue of blood, same thing. He said, virtue dunamis has left my body. But here there's a shift in the book of Luke with the power of the dunamis of God. After chapter 8, the word begins to be used not for Jesus, but the word dunamis and power begins to be used for the disciples and not for Jesus. We find this here. The power of God is now given to the disciples in Luke 9:1, it says this, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power, dunamis, that same word that was used for Jesus when casting out the demons, that same word that was used for Jesus that day that he was conceived in Mary's womb, that same word that was used for Jesus when he was driven into the wilderness, that same word used for Jesus when he came out of the wilderness, that same word used for Jesus when the woman with the issue of blood touched him, is not being used for Jesus now, but Jesus is telling them, I'm giving you the dunamis. Amen. Did that make you excited? I like it. Amen. I don't know if I just... Sometimes I have my own little... I get excited. Amen. God, Jesus, is talking to His disciples. He called His 12 disciples together. Now just imagine this. If you were one of the 12, you've watched Jesus cast out demons and thought to yourself, wow. You've watched Jesus heal. And you thought to yourself, only the Son of God can do that. You've watched Jesus do this. You watched the woman with the issue of blood. You watched Jairus' daughter give up. And you thought to yourself, the power of God is real. But then Jesus, the Bible says, then He called His 12 disciples together. Hey, Peter, come here, man. Thomas, go get Judas with the money bag. Come on. Come here. Sit down. I want to talk to you. And this is what He says to them. He calls His 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to curse diseases. Now just imagine you being one of the disciples. You've witnessed all of that. And all of a sudden you're sitting there at Jesus. Jesus called you together and He's talking to you and says, hey, Peter, I'm going to give you the same ability that I have. I'm going to give you the same authority that I have. Here it is. I've done this, but now I want you to do it. You've witnessed this. You've watched it happen at my hands. Now I want it to happen at your hands. This is what Jesus did. He gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. My, that should be encouragement to you today. That just wasn't for Peter, but that's written to you as well, church. That wasn't just for Thomas, but that's for you as well. That wasn't just for Andrew and the rest of the disciples. He's telling us. Yes, I did miracles. Yes, you read of my miracles. Yes, the apostles did them. But you can too if you live the life and you live in the authority of Jesus Christ. But then He goes on to this. I like this. He didn't just give them power. What a gift anyhow. I mean, you know, we get excited about a box at Christmas time. You make people very happy with it. But think about this gift. It's real. It's for us. But He goes on to say this in Luke 10:19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That word tread there simply means this. It means complete mastery. Whew. I don't think you're catching it. That means the devil's fighting you. Brother Nathan mentioned it some this morning. But you have the authority in Jesus Christ. No matter what you're going through, God has given you the power and the dunamis to reach over that, to step over that, and to be more than overcomers in the name of Jesus. More than conquerors, overcomers, doing those things which Jesus did. But you can do them and overcome the enemy too. Amen. I like what he said this morning. It's not about an evangelist praying for you. If you're born again today, you have the authority. If you're saved today, you have the authority. We must understand this. God, help me get this across to you today. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I wish you'd understand that tonight, because you can overcome a lot of things that we go through. No matter what you're facing, God has given you the complete mastery. Let me move on in this. Because this is where things change again in the book of Luke. Because in the book of Luke, He said, I give you complete mastery over the enemy. You know, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents. But then in Luke 24:49, He says this, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. What is that? What's the promise of the Father? Somebody help me here. The Holy Ghost. I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power, dunamis, power, dunamis, from on high. He was telling them, look, I'm sitting, I'm going away, I'm going to the right hand of the Father, but I'm sending the Holy Ghost, and that Holy Ghost is the power and the dunamis of God. My God, once again, we need to quit denying dunamis, quit denying the Holy Ghost, and quit denying the presence of God, what He wants to do in our lives. That word there says, tarry ye in Jerusalem. You look those words up, tarry ye in Greek. It means sit down. Amen. I'm going somewhere. That's what it means. It means take a seat. So here it is. You've got the upper room, and I may have dealt with this before. You've got the upper room, and then the Lord says, tarry ye, sit down. First of all, when you're sitting down, that's teaching you a few things. First of all, it's teaching you patience. Have you ever had something on your mind? You can't sit still. I don't know if you can, but usually I kind of get a little back and forth motion. Amen. He said, until you sit down, show patience, but to sit down also means position. So it says, tarry ye, learn your position in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power, dunamis from on high. That word endued there, does anybody know what it means? It means to put on like a coat. I'm going to show you. Just it's a coat. That word endued in the Bible means this. I know that don't look as good on me as it should, but anyhow. He, when it says, tarry ye till you're endued with power, it says, tarry ye until you're clothed in dunamis. You're clothed in the anointing. You're clothed in the Holy Ghost. My Lord, hear me again, friends. There's a problem there. The reason many never get clothed with the power of God, because they have trouble with tarrying. You ever went and got fitted for a suit? You know, I've been in a few weddings, and you go to Men's Warehouse and you pay $180 for a suit for one day. That makes some money. Amen. And I got to the place, I said, don't ask me to be in your wedding, please. I'm just kidding. If you're getting married, I'd love to be in it. But you know what you're doing there when they're measuring your arms? And you got to sit there, and I don't know if I'm ADD at times or what, but I just kind of get a little fidgety. A few minutes into it, they put your arm out. But this, you know what they're doing? They're fitting me. They're measuring me. I'm tarrying so they can put the coat on me and make sure it's the right size. Make sure it's just right. Hear me today, friend. God wants us to tarry. He wants us to sit down at times. He's not denying us the promise, but He's wanting to put the promise on you. He's wanting to measure you. He wanting to make sure that your heart's in the right place, that you're hungry enough for it. He said, tarry in Jerusalem until you're endued, put on clothes with the dunamis from on high. Oh my. I might preach as long as Brother Nathan this morning now. I'm just joking. I had a few eyes right then. Amen. But when the Lord's in it, it makes it seem short anyhow. But think about it, friend. This, the reason for dunamis is this. The reason He wants you to put it on, the reason He wants you to tarry is this. He tells us in Acts 1 and 8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. But ye shall receive dunamis. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world. The reason God wants to fill you, the reason God wants to baptize you, the reason God wants to endue you with the power and dunamis of the Holy Ghost is not for your own glory, but to make you a witness and a testimony of Jesus Christ, and so you can be effective. That's why He wants. It's not for Derek Jones to say, I preach good. I know I don't. It's not for that. It's not for an evangelist to act like. You ever heard somebody that's got this special gift? The Holy Ghost has given me this special gift. And the gift that the Holy Ghost has given me. God ain't giving you nothing. You've yielded yourself to the Holy Ghost. And God used you. It's His gift. God ain't give you a present. You hear me. God will use you in gifts. He says earnestly desire those gifts. But I bet some guys before they have a patent on the anointing, you know. God filled me. I've heard them say before, they get caught in something. And this is verbatim. Now, you wouldn't believe this, but hear me. I've had people tell me before, I'm anointed, you better leave me alone. I think to myself, wow. If you've got to vindicate that all the time, something's wrong. You ain't got to tell somebody you're anointed. You're either anointed or you ain't. Plus, we can look at the ministry and tell if you're making any fruit. Amen. Come on now. That's the truth. Hear me today, friend. We have no path. The reason God fills us is that we'll be a witness unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea. He said, I want you to be a witness. You know what that word witness means? Martyr in the Bible. It means I want you to be a witness unto death if it calls you to do that. How do you think the apostles, all of them but John, died a martyr's death? And when you read the testimonies and secular history of it, they did it without flinching most of the time. I don't believe they had to drag Paul to the chopping block. Hey man, don't make movies about Paul nowadays. And Paul's sitting there like, oh, don't take me. And I believe Paul said to be absent in this body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. How did he do it? He was endued with dunamis. To the place that the Holy Ghost was making him a witness unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Oh my, I'm going to go a step further. Hear me. The Bible says they have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. But then it goes on to say this, from such, turn away. Oh my. It's saying if they don't believe in the dunamis, if they don't believe in the power of the Holy Ghost as the Bible teaches it, turn away from it. I refuse to say some denominations are just as good as Pentecost. I refuse to do it. And it's not a competition. But if they're denying the dunamis thereof, the Bible says, turn away. Label that and say, look, something's wrong because they're working in the flesh when God wants us to work in the Spirit. Oh, I know that. I know that severs a lot of things in life. I know that. But this is what the Bible says. They deny it. They say it's not real. They say it's not for us today. And I would beg to differ. Hear me today, friend. We must understand this. God wants to fill you with the dunamis. God wants to fill you with this power. And I'm going to tell this story and I'm going to let you go. I know it's been a long day. Hear me. I read a story about a girl named, and this is a true testimony from my understanding, reliable sources. Her name was Rosa Gonzalez in northern Mexico. And Brother Nathan didn't tell me the story. It's another story. Rosa Gonzalez was a very poor girl, about 12 years old, and a Methodist church bus would pick her up, and she fell in love in Sunday school with Jesus Christ. Here she is, little Rosa Gonzalez, beautiful young little girl. She had often had dirt on her face. She wore the same tattered pink dress every Sunday and came barefooted because her family was so poor. Her family could not afford to get her a Bible or provide anything for her spiritually. So one day after church, the pastor came up to her and gave her a little New Testament that she could read. This beautiful little Rosa Gonzalez here, she went home. She started as soon as she got home. She read all the way through the book of Matthew. She read through all the way through the book of Mark. She read all the way. She got to the book of Luke. And she got to the book of Luke in verse 5. And then something happened in that verse, in verse 13. And she said that God spoke to her. And then verse 13 said something like this. God will not withhold the Holy Spirit to those that ask. Little Rosa Gonzalez, being 12 years old, sat there and read that, and she got so excited, and the Lord spoke to her, she said. She said the Lord spoke to her and said this, and the Lord spoke to her and said, Little Rosa, ask me and I will give you my Holy Spirit. That's what Rosa said. He said, if you ask me, I'll give it to you. Oh, isn't that something? A little girl read a Bible and take it literal. And God can talk to her and said, I'll give you that. You know, when you read that, you know what God's telling you? I'll give you that. That's what He's saying. So little Rosa, with tears running down her face, she was so excited. She said, Lord, give me the Holy Spirit. Because she was Spanish. I'm not good at that. She said, give it to me, Lord. And the Lord gave her direction. The Lord instructed her that next Sunday when you go to church, tell the pastor that I have shown what I have shown you. Take him to the verse and tell him to pray for you, and I will give you my spirit, little Rosa. So little Rosa could not wait. She, all week long, she was so excited. She goes to church, and instantly she goes to church and says, "Pastor, Pastor." And the pastor, this is the pastor's testimony. He looked at little Rosa and said, "Rosa, what, sweetie?" She said, "Pastor, pray for me so I can have the Holy Spirit. Pray for me, Pastor." And the pastor said to himself, "Little Rosa, aren't you saved?" She said, "Yes, Pastor." "Don't you love Jesus with all of your little heart?" "Yes, Pastor." "Then you have the Holy Spirit." She said, "No, not like that. The Lord said He was going to give me the Holy Spirit and told me to come to you and to, could you please pray for me?" He said, "Not today, little Rosa, not today." He said, and she said, "Please, Pastor." He said, "Okay, after church." So she ran to Sunday school and she came back into the morning worship. When the morning worship was over, he gave the altar call. He thought for sure little Rosa would forget. Pastor said he looked over there and little Rosa was at the end of the platform with her hand raised. "Pastor, Pastor." And so little Rosa sat there. So the pastor thought to himself, "I've got to ignore her. I cannot deal with this right now. I cannot deal with her." So here it is. The pastor, here he is. He's trying to ignore her. And all of a sudden, he tells everybody they may be seated. Everybody may go back to the pew. And all of a sudden, there at the end of the platform was little Rosa saying, "Pastor, pray for me that I can have the Holy Spirit." And the pastor said, "Look, little Rosa." He said, "Come back next week, little Rosa. I'll pray for you then." And a tear ran down her face. She stomped her foot. She said, "Pastor, no. Jesus said you'll pray for me today." Now this is a pastor's testimony. And so all of a sudden, he said, "How could I deny little Rosa in front of my whole congregation of people? I've got a little 12-year-old girl crying, saying, 'Pray for me.' How can I tell her no?" And he was Methodist there, and he had a book of prayers. So instantly, the pastor went to his book, and he found a prayer for church membership. And he went over there, and at the end of that prayer, it said something like this. It says, "In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost." So the pastor went over there. He opened his book of prayers. He prayed over little Rosa. He laid his hands on her. And at the end of that, he said, "In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost." And he said, "That's it. There you go, little Rosa. The Lord's filled you with the Spirit." She said, No, Pastor. God said, "You pray for me, and I'm going to receive the Holy Spirit." So instantly, the pastor said, "Oh, boy." He opened his book back up and he said he found a prayer. He found a prayer for sending forth workers. And in that prayer it mentioned something about the Holy Spirit. So instantly he laid hands on her and he said, "Now, little Rosa, you have the Holy Spirit." After he prayed, Holy Spirit, after he prayed over, tears ran down both cheeks and she pointed her finger at him, stomped her little dirty foot and said, "Not like that." So that pastor in northern Mexico, he said he just went over to her. He closed his eyes. And he said, "Lord, if you've spoken to this little 12-year-old little girl that don't even have much, and you said you'll give her the Holy Spirit," he said, "give her the Holy Spirit." This is a quote from the pastor. He said, he said, "Underneath my dead, unbelieving hand, God baptized that little girl in the Holy Ghost. And she laid there in the center aisle speaking in other tongues. And we had never seen it before in all of our life." He said, "We were dead. We were dry. We were systematic. We were mundane." He said, he did not know what to do. She's laying there. She's speaking in another tongue. And he's looking at a church full of Methodist people there in that church. And they're looking at him. And he said instantly, he didn't know what to do, so he sat there and went back to his prayer book. He said for 30 minutes she laid there. He said, but when he looked across his congregation, he said they were weeping and they were crying. He said you could not deny the presence of the Holy Ghost that came along with that baptism. He said you had sinners weeping. You had people that came to church he knew was living in sin. They're sitting there shaking under conviction. You know why? Because little Rosa understood that you asked for the Spirit and God will give it to you. That pastor said 30 minutes later, little Rosa stood up, turned around and pointed at the banker on the second pew and said, you're committing adultery with your wife. He said, if you get it right, God will restore your family. 12 years, now this is a testimony. You can believe it or not, but Pentecost ain't always going to make sense. It's dunamis and it's the power of God. That banker, he said, thought to himself, this is the pastor talking. He said, I thought to myself, my Lord, he's the richest man in my church. We're ruined. He said, but to his surprise, he said, that banker got up and ran to the altar and said, little Rosa, he said, you're right. Lord, help me. I want to get things right. She began to pray for people. People began to come to the altars. And all of a sudden, the pastor's sitting there. He's watching the people get praying through. He's watching as others are getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden, he thinks to himself, I've got to put a stop to this. I'm losing my whole church to fanaticism. He said, I went to step off the platform. He said, I was about to put an end to it. He said, when I heard a voice that said this, he called his name. And all of a sudden, the pastor stopped in his tracks. He said, Lord, is that you? He said, yes, I am your Savior. And he said this, you're in my way. Don't you dare try to stop it. You're in my way. Don't you dare try to stop it. You know what the pastor did? True story. He stopped there. He put both hands in the air. And he began to say, Lord, I'm not trying to stop it. But Lord, I don't want to stop it. But Lord, can you give me the Holy Spirit like you gave it to little Rosa? Hear me today, church. Can you read Luke 11 and understand that if you ask of Him, He will fill you. He will fill you with the Holy Ghost. My God, I feel the Lord here. When's the last time you asked Him? And not ask Him with everything theologically figured out in your mind. But ask Him like little Rosa. No, not like that. Not like that. I want what the Spirit of God talks about. I want that baptism that is real. Hear me today, friend. We've got to learn to ask Him and we shall receive it if we ask. The reason I'm dealing with this on Sunday nights, it's for all of us. I told you that already. It's hidden for somebody to say, I've got it and you don't know. I'm trying to preach what the Word says to us. And the Word tells us He wants to endue you with power. It is real. But you've got to ask for the gift which He has given us. If you haven't sought for it, and I'm not talking about ask Him one time, but seek for the Holy Ghost. Brother Glenn, did you have to seek for it? I had to seek. And it caused a lot of discomfort in my life. For the best. You know why? Because I was asking Him for the Holy Spirit. When they say testimonies, guess what? I stood right up. Pray for me. I was like little Rosa. Pray for me. I need the Holy Ghost. You can't even be ashamed to testify about it. You've got to ask Him. Stand to your feet tonight. Feel the presence of God here. I ain't in a rush one bit. You know, God visited us this morning. God came by this way in this church this morning. And He motivated us as a body. He did. I didn't talk to Brother Nathan. He got in last night at 12 o'clock. Honest to the Lord, I've talked to him 2 times on the phone in 6 months. We don't text. He said, I'm coming through. I said, preach. He came last night. We shot hoops and ate a sandwich. But this morning, the brother preached to us underneath the dunamis, the power of God. And you know what I feel in this room right now? I feel the power of heaven. We have 2 people in this church right now. When I say that, 2 groups. And I hope you don't fit the one. One will have a form of godliness, but they will deny the power thereof. That means framework, theology, understanding, know the Bible some. But they deny the dunamis, which means the miraculous, which means it's out of your hands. But then you have others that are going to come to church. They don't have a form. They have godliness in Jesus. And they're not denying the power. They're wanting to ask for the power. You know, the opposite of denying is accepting. I don't want to know about you, but do you want to be labeled as one that denies dunamis? Or do you want to be one that receives dunamis? Oh, God, help us here. I feel conviction in this building. I feel God in the sanctuary tonight. God's wanting some of you. If you don't get, look, you can get it tonight. That's up to you how diligent you want to be about your walk with God and seeking. But if you're not seeking for the Holy Ghost, seek for it. From the pastor to the Sunday school offices to the choir to the platform, let's seek for it. And that's not degrading and that's not diminishing. That's to help us all. Help us, Lord. Help us. Look, I love everybody in this, but I mean that. If one of you were somewhere and you had a diligent need, I wouldn't be nothing. New or not, anybody. You could call me any hour of the night. You know that. I hope you know that. We're friends. And you know, I know that from you too. It doesn't matter what I'm going through. I'm sure I can talk to you about it. We're a family. We're a body in Christ. God's blessing us and helping us. And we know His presence has been in these services. But can we make a commitment to one another? And I asked you this on the first night. Will you seek for it? Will you? I'm asking you. How many say, Brother Derek? And if you already have it, seek for the fullness thereof. By raise of hands, I'm asking you to do this. And look, if you don't raise your hand, that's between you and God. But I'm asking you as a church, they bind together. Can we seek together? This ain't to diminish. This is to help. My God, friend, the Holy Ghost is here to help us be what we need to be. He's wanting to do the miraculous in our services. Can we have tonight a little Rosa to come to the altar and say, Lord, I was reading my Bible and I come across a few verses of Scripture. Lord, I'm going to ask You for that. Pastor, I want the Holy Spirit. Does anybody want it tonight? How about this? Look, no hesitation. Look, no hesitation. Make no occasion for the flesh. How about we come around here tonight and start praying as a body in Christ? My wife, don't even get on the piano. We'll pray together as a family. Let's ask the Lord to fill us. And look, church, if you know, tonight if you have the Holy Ghost, ask God to continue to use you. Seek for the gifts of the Spirit. Don't stop there. If you don't, ask God to fill you. And don't quit with just asking tonight. Ask Him tomorrow. Ask Him Tuesday. If you're not saved here tonight, God wants to save you. And you are a candidate after your blood bond to be filled with the Spirit. Oh, yes. Pray, church, pray. Ask God to help you. Find you a place wherever you like to go. And let God help you. Yes, Lord, yes. Like little Rosa, say, Pastor, or say, Jesus, fill me. Jesus, fill me tonight, Lord Jesus. God, Jesus. Oh, yes. Yes, pray, church. Ask God for His power to come in here tonight. The dunamis of God. Hallelujah.